Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, good day. Put on your business hat this morning. We have a great hour on business. Joining us at the bottom of the hour will be David Norton. His book is Digital Context 2.0, Seven Lessons in Business Strategy, Consumer Behavior, and the Internet of Things. I got a lot to learn in that one. And we'll open up here with the gentleman who continues to accomplish a great deal, Patrick J. McGinnis, a venture capitalist, private equity investor who founded DiRigo Advisors after a decade on Wall Street. He's got a book out. Well, first of all, let me say he's a graduate of Harvard Business School and Georgetown University. He writes for the Business Insider, Huffington Post, Boston Magazine, and Forbes. The name of his new book, The 10% Entrepreneur, Live Your Startup Dream Without Quitting Your Day Job. It's published in hardcover by Portfolio, a division of Penguin. Nice to have you on, Patrick.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, you look at the cover and the immediate gut reaction from a lot of people might be, listen, impossible, either you do it or you don't do it. How can someone who has a full-time job in any capacity, whatever it may be, and who has aspiring ideas to become an entrepreneur, think that he can put in, and I put this in quotes, a minimum effort, because it may be a maximum effort for a small amount of time. How can you possibly extend your tentacles to become an entrepreneur and perhaps start a business?
Well, it's a good question. It's a question that I think is a very natural first question. A 10% entrepreneur is somebody who spends 10% of their time and, if possible, 10% of their money advising, investing, and getting involved in new ventures. And so it's a starting point, not necessarily an ending point. But the idea is that we, you know, over the last 10 years, the costs of starting new businesses have gone down a lot considerably. You know, probably if you were to sort of add it all up, they've gone down by over 80%.
As a result of technology?
Exactly. So just look at the cost of building a website. That's gone from tens of thousands of dollars to basically free. At the same time, you're carrying around an office in your pocket. You've got your smartphone, so you're flexible in the way that you use your time and your focus. And so what I tell people is, you know, you have opportunities to engage in entrepreneurship. It may not be that you start and run a company on the side. It may be that you're an investor or that you invest your time for sweat equity. But you may actually start a company, and I have these great stories in the book about people. For example, a guy named Luke Holden, who started a company called Luke's Lobster, which has 20 stores all over the world now, and he ran that from his smartphone for the first year, basically until he had enough money to leave his job. And that's the thing, is not everybody can afford to just jump in both feet into an entrepreneurial venture. And so we have to find different ways to use the flexibility that we have around us to actually do things on the side and potentially even then do them full time.
There are other examples in here, and I'll have you cover a couple as we go along in the show. But I think the frustration for a lot of people, and I know there's no one size fits all here, is, you know, I've got so many ideas, and I really want to begin my own business. I know the benefits of it. I know the risks of it. How do I begin the process? How do I begin to narrow it down to a focus where this is the area I want to go in? But I guess part of this is you playing psychologist.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it's funny. So I went through this exercise myself. I never really thought I would do anything entrepreneurial. I had been a venture capitalist. I had invested in a bunch of startups, but it wasn't something I saw for myself. And then, you know, I decided that I wanted to get started in entrepreneurship. And I found that the way to do that most effectively was to actually just something. And it's a mindset game. So I sat down and I thought about, what did I want to do? What was I good at? And what were the resources that I could invest, whether they were time or money? And I basically took a bit of an audit of myself. And I figured out, okay, if I take 10% of my savings, I have X amount of capital. Let me sit down and figure out what I'm good at, what I have experience in. And let me look around my network and start talking to people and looking for ways to get involved. So the first thing that I did actually personally was I had a friend who had a startup. I didn't want to work for it full time. I thought it was way too risky. But he said, I need help finding clients. Why don't I do this? I'll give you a little bit of stock for free. You can become a co-founder of my company and you can get involved there. And then help me find some clients. And over the next month, I did. And I got a commission on all my sales and basically made some money while also owning part of the company that I sold later on.
All right. Yeah, it's a matter of utilizing your time. I have a saying in my book, time isn't money. If you don't spend it today, it's gone forever. And I know you talk and we all should be concerned much more about time effectiveness as opposed to time efficiency. If an opportunity comes along, you can jump right in. But for the aspiring entrepreneur, and you indicated smaller startup costs than ever before, what's the best way for them to go about it? Venture capital, angel, conventional institution investing, bootstrapping family. I know it's, you know, the perception, I think, has changed dramatically. We've become a much wiser society that all the frills, the fancy cars, the fancy offices, they don't mean a damn if you're going to close shop in 3 months.
Precisely. And that's a great question. You know, I think there has this glamorization of raising capital, like somehow the minute you raise venture capital, you're going to be successful. But the reality is that most businesses that raise venture capital aren't successful. And so when I talk to entrepreneurs all the time, what I tell them is do as much as you can before you raise capital. Prove that your idea makes sense before you go out and do that. And in fact, statistics show that that's a better way to build a business. So there's a study out of the University of Wisconsin that shows the people who start a business before leaving their job and run that on the side for, you know, some period of time actually have a 33% lower rate of failure than people who leave, jump in full time, raise money, and just get at it. So I think, you know, that's what I think an incremental way is a proven way to start a business and be more successful.
Again, if one starts a business, and I realize temperament plays into it, say, for example, if they go the venture capital route, and obviously you're talking some money as opposed to a small bootstrap operation, then you're looking at maybe giving up a big chunk. You're also looking at losing control. How do you weigh in general, you being a venture capitalist, how do you weigh these options? Is it predicated on how much you need to start up and what your financial situation is, or is it much more of a conceptual process?
Well, it really depends on the business you're going to build. But when I talk to investors and when I think about investing myself, what I always advise people to do is, as I said, bootstrap for as long as possible. But when you're going to raise capital, there's two things to keep in mind. Number one is the minute you take capital on, you have a boss, and so you're working for somebody now. So it may be your company, but you've got people who are going to be telling you what to do and have contractual rights to tell you what you're going to do. And so if you're going to do that, you need to make sure you find investors who actually understand what you're trying to do and are experienced in helping entrepreneurs, because what's happened nowadays is the cost of entry to be an investor has gone down because of the decline in the cost of starting a business. And so you have a lot of people who are out there who've never done this before. And so you want to make sure that you don't have a bunch of investors who have never invested in a company and somehow expect that they're going to get their capital back in a month or 2 months or 6 months. This is a long-term play. It could take 5 to 7 years to be successful. And so you want to make sure that you have people around you who are willing to go on that journey with you.
We're going to ask you to hang around for another segment after a break. But I do want to ask you before we before you get into a step-by-step process, it's always tough to figure it out, how to do it. It's like getting a new car, as I just did, and sitting down. I can't figure out how to do anything. It's for some people, they need this, and then they can proceed. And then perhaps another couple of examples. But let me just quickly ask you before the break, what did you learn from writing this book?
So for me, this was a distillation of my entire process of becoming a 10% entrepreneur. I did this over the last 5 years, and I spent the first 2 years figuring out all the things not to do. And then once I did that and I wrote the book, you know, for me, it was a way of really cataloging, systematizing this into a process that anybody can follow. You don't have to be a Harvard MBA. You don't have to be a graduate of Georgetown University. You could be somebody who works a very normal 9-to-5 job. But if you go through the steps in the book, you'll actually be able to get started becoming an entrepreneur on the side.
All right. Now, I want to have you go through some of these steps when we return. We're going to take a break. And just a brief note here as we go into a break, since I don't have time for another question. I had a lengthy interview with Juan Williams on his Fox News channel on his book, We the People. We'll get that on air. I think you'll find it quite stimulating. I'll give you the date that'll be playing. In the meanwhile, coming back after a break is Patrick J. McGinnis, the author of The 10% Entrepreneur. Live your startup dream without quitting your day job. Portfolio, the publisher. Great information from someone who's not only done it, but still doing it, and doing it successfully. This is Steve.
Knowing you can get 20% off almost everything at Napa, I bet you'd start thinking, I could use some headlamps, shop gloves, a new ratchet set. Then you'd think, how am I going to carry all this? Simple. The Napa 5-gallon bucket. Buy one for $3.99, get 20% off almost everything you can fit in it, and a dollar goes to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. 20% off the stuff you want, plus a bucket to carry it all home in. That's Napa know-how. Participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Some exclusions apply. Minimum 3 items. Offer expires 4/30/16.
Welcome to Staples.
Hey, Staples guy, I'm opening a business next door.
Well, welcome to the neighborhood. You know, Staples can print custom signs and banners to help get the word out.
Great, but I gotta watch every dime.
We have low prices every day. And with Staples Price Match Guarantee, you can always get the lowest price.
Perfect.
So when's the grand opening?
Yesterday.
I had no idea.
Neither did anyone else.
Trust Staples for low prices every day. Staples, make more happen.
Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See store or staples.com for details.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving. But my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
BizTalkRadio.com.
The Legal Exchange, Saturdays 1 to 2 p.m., a.m. 1120, WBNW.
This is David Limbaugh, nationally syndicated columnist and author of the new book, Crimes Against Liberty, number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Not trying to brag about that, but just happy about it. I just did a great interview with your host, Stu Taylor, who is one of the best out there. He's on fire. He's almost more on fire than I am. He should have his show. Hey, he does have his show. He is awesome. You're lucky to have him.
All right, we return, and really happy to be joined by... I have to say this in a way that's acceptable here, because I have a great array of guests who come on my show, but there seems to be a certain sense of identification when someone's actually done it themselves successfully and are telling other people how to do it. That doesn't hold all the time, and I'll give you one example. It doesn't hold necessarily in professional baseball, where great managers like Tony La Russa have never never played the game or never played it on a professional level. So I just want to mention that, because this book is I think it'll encompass everything for those people who are out there and who are frustrated and are looking for another option, and they've got this entrepreneurial bug in their bones and they don't know what to do. Low cost, reasonable setup. As we begin this segment, Patrick, you know, there's always this certain perception that the greater the risk, the greater the benefits from doing something, potentially the greater the downside of it. So you bet $10,000 in a poker game. If you win, it's incredible. If you lose, you're out. It doesn't have to be that way. There are ways to take risks to increase the benefits and to lower the downside. It's kind of like selling short in stocks, right?
Yep, definitely.
Any particular way to explain to people or to motivate them that if they have something worthy, I know, other than what you've already said, to take that shot?
Well, you know, what I talk about in the book and what I've done myself is I figured out the different ways you can engage as a part-time entrepreneur, or what I call a 10% entrepreneur. And so there's really five different ways, and I won't go into all of them today, but the one way we've talked about already is to be a founder of a company, to start something yourself. And that's where you're putting your time and your money potentially together and doing it. The other way is to become what I call an advisor. And an advisor is kind of a perfect situation for people who have some skills and some ideas, but they're not quite ready to jump in. And what an advisor does is trade his or her time in exchange for shares. So, for example, you have a great story, and this is a little bit of a crazy story, but it's very memorable, about this guy who's an artist. His name is David Cho, and he painted the murals at the Facebook headquarters. And he could have gotten paid $10,000 or $20,000, but instead he took stock in Facebook. And when the company went public, those shares were worth $200 million. And so the lesson from that story is you can trade your talents, whether it's designing a marketing plan, building a financial model, building a website, coming up with a logo, whatever it is, you can oftentimes decide, you know, I'm going to trade instead of taking cash because startups don't have cash. Let me get a little stock in the company. Let me think like an owner, and let me see how the company evolves, and I'll be a shareholder, and the people who work at that company are working all the time to create value in my shares, and that can become really meaningful. So that's one of the ones that I really like to encourage people to do, is think about how they can trade their talent and not necessarily have to invest cash that they might be afraid of losing in a new venture.
Yeah, I mean, there are ways to do it, as you say that, you know, and I want to talk about taking stock in a company because the probability of it turning into something may be slight. I just interviewed, I can't think of his last name, Duncan, it might be Martin. He wrote the book Alibaba, if you haven't read it.
Right.
Truly one of the amazing stories. And he came on as an advisor, but he didn't assume a role as part of the company. And I think he was offered 30,000 shares or something that would have translated into millions. And he turned it down. When you think about the investment in terms of remuneration from stock, well, I mean, really, what's the probability of that panning out?
You know, it depends, of course. It depends on the stage of the company. It depends on how much you understand the business. But what I like to do personally and what I advise people to do is say, listen, you may not want to take all of your remuneration in stock, but having some share of it does give you upside. It gives you access to upside that you may never get anywhere else. And as you build a portfolio and have many more positions, the chances go up. So what I've done is of my 20 or so side investments, about half of those are in shares. And I've done that because oftentimes I like a company, but it's a little risky for me to put my cash in. And of those companies, a number of them, I'd say about 25% so far, have become meaningful in terms of value. So generally startups are, you know, if you look at the universe of startups that manage to actually raise some capital, somewhere between 10 and 30-40% will be successful in differing levels of success. So as you think about that yourself, you know, that probably is the mindset you should think about. But
all right, interesting analysis.
Yeah.
I love the story. You got a lot of them in here, and of course, we don't have time to cover them. I love that Bible study class story. I mean, that opened my eyes. I had to read it a second time. Tell that one.
It's an amazing story. I was introduced to these guys through a friend of mine. They're down in Atlanta, and one of the guys worked making infomercials. One of the guys worked just in a sort of corporate job, and one of the guys worked in finance. And they were all friends from Bible study. They would get together Friday morning at 6 a.m. in somebody's basement and do Bible study. And then on Monday nights, to become sort of, you know, hang out like guys hang out, they would brew their own beer. And microbreweries and home brewing is kind of a natural fit for somebody who wants to start their own business. It's cheap to do. You can start really small, and then if you want to scale it up, it's not terribly expensive to do so. So they started throwing these parties on Monday nights, and they'd get 10 people in the beginning, then 15, then 20. All of a sudden, they're getting 50, 60 people at their house on Monday nights. And so they invested a little bit of capital, raised a little bit of money, got a loan from the Small Business Administration, and actually built up their own brew pub. And today, you know, a couple of years later, I think we're 4 years later, they're doing millions in sales. They have this huge brewery. They're a powerhouse in Atlanta. Where they're based. It's called Monday Night Brewing. And two of the three partners have left their jobs and are working full-time at the brewery. One of the guys is very happy. He works in private equity. He stayed on. So they built a meaningful business, really amazing business, but in a way that was low risk and basically gave them an opportunity to invest very little capital as they went along. And so they own a lot of the company.
Yeah, you never know where you're going. And I think that's one of the great journeys or enticements for entrepreneurs. On a promotional note here, Jim Cook, the founder of Sam Adams, will be joining us a week from Friday. Quench Your Own Thirst. Also on the same show will be Steve Case and his new book, The Third Wave. There's only about a minute or so left here. And just perhaps what you haven't covered, you talk about a step-by-step plan that takes you through the whole process. Can you kind of generalize that and give a brief overview of how people get started? Because I know there were people out there who were saying, how do I get started? I've got an idea.
Right. Well, there are three steps. First step is to figure out your resources, whether that's time, money, or what you're good at, your intellectual capital. The next is to figure out how you actually determine if an investment makes sense for you, and that's an investment process. So going through and doing your due diligence. And the third is leveraging your network, all the people you know, not only to find good ideas, but also to help you to figure out if they make sense and do due diligence and to add value.
It's been great having you on, Patrick.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, just stay on for a moment as we go to a break. Stu Taylor.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
All right, guys, we're ready for our Four Seasons sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it?
help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process. It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
BizTalkRadio.com.
You're locked into Money Matters Radio, 1120 AM WBNW.
This is Martin Fletcher. I'm a special freelance correspondent for NBC News, and I've just done an interview which I enjoyed very much with Stu Taylor.
All right, we're back with a good solid business theme here this morning, and following up our initial guest, Peter McManus, and his book, 10% Entrepreneur. Joining us right now is David Norton. He's a PhD. He's the founder and principal of Stone Mantel, and it's spelled M-A-N-T-E-L, which has helped hundreds of brand leaders in creating meaningful brand experiences. He's lectured at Harvard, Columbia Business School, and Fortune Magazine's annual summits. He's taught at a number of colleges. His book is Digital Context 2.0, Seven Lessons in Business Strategy and Consumer Behavior and the Internet of Things. The book is published in paperback by Gifted Press, and welcome to the show. It's absolutely great to have you on.
Thanks, Stu. It's great to be here and great to visit with you.
Well, we've seen this digital economy accelerate at such a rapid rate. I just told you my own personal inability to keep up with it, even during a break with simple things. We're going at a really quick rate, and there were positives and negatives. And one of the positives is that disruptive technology helps to create a better opportunity for everyone in the future on a number of levels. It also has created a situation where there are certain jobs have gone by the boards and can't be replaced, but we won't approach it from the economical standpoint. And also the difficulty in deciding how to invest to keep up with these rapid changes, because indeed some form of technology may be antiquated in a short period of time. How do you balance that?
It is a real challenge. I mean, you think about some of these companies, brands that we have loved and revered for 100 years. They knew what it meant to wake up in the morning and make a product and have that product distributed through the proper channels and have a consumer on the other end that purchases the product, go into a store or something like that. And over the last 30 years. I mean, it comes as no surprise to anyone that, business models have really, really been disrupted. Continue to evolve and evolve very quickly. And I think that companies absolutely have to be thinking 2 to 3 years ahead of time and identifying principles that they can use to help prepare. They may not always know what technology is going to come out next, what Facebook is going to do, what Google is going to do, what's going to hit, what's going to miss. But they can have specific principles that they apply to business models to be successful, and then they're better prepared.
Yeah, and when you talk about being better prepared and being open-minded and being socially conscious and using tools like collaboration, are we shaking the past mindsets of do-it-yourself, keep this highly secretive, and moving into a much more realistic realm where people realize, and key words that you use in the book, connections, alliances, sharing data, has become extraordinarily important. I'll just say that perhaps one in one doesn't equal two. It may equal three or four.
That's exactly right. I mean, if you're not actively looking for partnerships, if you're not actually connecting your product, your service to other technologies that are out there, you're just not even playing in the field anymore. I mean, people will pass you by. It's not enough anymore to just create an app. It hasn't been for some time now, for a few years now. You can't just create an app and assume that the consumer is going to use it. It has to be a connected technology. It has to connect to other things. It needs to connect to your calendar. It needs to connect maybe to the home environment, to the smart car. That's the only way to stay involved. And, of course, that takes collaboration. That takes lots of work. Companies have to see themselves as producers of data as much as they are producers of product. They produce data, and consumers want that data to make their lives better. So it's a big shift. Really,
it is. There's a huge shift, and that shift is going on all the time. And when you think about companies, they're talking about always creating a value proposition and always thinking, well, I don't know if I have a competitive advantage. A lot of companies don't, and they ask them what their competitive advantage is. They don't know exactly what it is. But how do you go about creating your place? I don't mean yours and mine, but I mean, how do you go about creating a corporate position here utilizing this digital context?
So a value proposition design, very important thing. Got a principle that we have discovered through the research. It seems pretty obvious when I say it to you, but when it comes to designing a context-aware, an internet-ready value proposition, a watch is never a watch, right? A phone is never a phone. Your razor that you shave with in the morning is never just a razor, because as soon as you make that device smart, the consumer assumes that device can tell you more than it possibly, you know, than what it is that it was actually meant to do. And so the consumer's expectations change, and then your ability to use that data, that smart data, changes your relationship with other companies. Let's say you've got a razor and it's got a little sensor in it that tells every time that you shave. Well, that razor then knows your morning patterns, knows what time typically you get up in the morning and what it is that you're doing. If you've got some shaving cream and that shaving cream doesn't have a sensor in it, all of a sudden the razor has much more information about the consumer than the shaving cream. And of course, Barbasol or whoever's selling the shaving cream is going to really need that information. And so you, as like Gillette or Dollar Shave Club or whoever it is, are in a position of power vis-a-vis another product that could potentially be in the room, that's dumb, whereas you're smart. That totally changes your value proposition, changes the way you think about your audiences and who you sell to.
Yeah, amazing. And I mean, you can pick out the company you want, but perhaps the future first $1 trillion company is going to be Apple, who seems to always be at the forefront, utilizing what you talk about in this book. First of all, a comment on Apple, and second of all, other companies that you see as emerging companies based upon their ability to use this great new digital revolution.
Well, Apple, they made this possible. I mean, where would we be today without the smartphone, which, they had the ingenuity to figure out the app environment. Of course, Google came along very quickly thereafter, but they've been very, very in understanding how to use data in a way that's productive for the consumer. Google seems to do a better job overall in creating tools that are data-driven that can really help the consumer do what the consumer wants to do. But Apple's staying in the mix. I was just reading an article this morning, you know, about where's Apple's next big thing? Is it the car? How come Amazon's getting so far ahead in terms of Amazon Echo, its new in-home service that it provides for music? I think Apple needs to learn how to use data more effectively to help the consumer. That's where I think they're at. And then second part of your question was, again?
I think you're going to have to refresh me on that. I was so engrossed in what you were saying in the first half.
I
was talking about competitive advantages and other companies that you see on the horizon. And in part, I think you answered it with Google for one. All right, we can pick this up after a break. We can both sort through it during this intermission.
Okay.
This is Stu Taylor. We will return with David W. Norton. The book is Digital Context 2.0, 7 Lessons in Business Strategy, Consumer Behavior, and the Internet of Things. We'll be back.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
Want to know the secret to success, kid? One thing, the Granger catalog and Granger.com. Okay, that's two things. Oh, and Granger's got mobile apps. Those sure are convenient. Three things to succeed. Hey, and 1-800-GRANGER. I know that number by heart. Four things. There's hundreds of branches, too. Like I said, the one secret to keep this place running smoothly is Granger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Granger.com, or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving.
but my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call, but I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
BizTalkRadio.com.
IMIS, morning 6 to 8 on WBNW, 1120 AM.
This is Jim Woolsey, former director of Central Intelligence, and I'm glad you're listening along with me to Stu Taylor.
The book, Digital Context 2.0, Seven Lessons in Business Strategy, Consumer Behavior, and the Internet of Things, written by David Norton. And I think you want to get a copy of this. David is, as we return here, and I didn't invent the concept of bundling, but I always, in another world, in another business, thought that if I could end up having a competitive advantage over everyone, it was to offer all kinds of opportunities. In this particular case, it was a distributor, a commercial spinoff, and movie-related merchandise. And when I got I used Batman as an example, I got all of their products. So it became cost-effective for large companies to pay more and to buy from me than it did to go around to individual companies to get everything. That's just an example. Is this too far off the course here, or is bundling a term that you can incorporate into what you talk about in this book?
So you've got, you know, bundling or aggregation. You've got different versions of this going on all over the place. You've got companies who are bringing together other companies, creating those platforms that then everyone can build off. I think it's really interesting the way that app environments have developed and evolved over time. You know, you think about all of the things that you can do on your smartphone today. I don't know, Stu, if you saw in the news this last week, but Facebook just came out with a new service where they use bots. You know what a bot is, Stu?
No, but I did see something about Facebook, and what you're saying rings it rings a bell, but I don't remember the context
sure.
of the article.
So these are you speak, you use your voice, or you type into a messaging service, and instead of having somebody on the other side that's actually responding to you, you know, they use these little bots to answer your questions. These bots they're projecting are going to replace apps, and you have a lot of new voice activated technologies, Apple TV, Amazon Echo, You have messenger-based technologies like Facebook Messenger or your own text messages, where what's behind it is these bots that are going to be designed by companies. So Tide will have its own bot, and Toyota will have a whole series of different bots that you will respond to, that they will then talk to each other. You will talk to them. The platforms that are able to aggregate the most bots will be the smartest platforms, and people will go to those platforms to answer more questions. That's the way that brands are going to be connected. One of the ways, lots of things that are going to happen, but in the near future, one of the ways that brands are going to be connected to consumers is through these digitized bots that are talking back to the consumer.
I wanted to have you jump back here on the same note to to sharing data and how important it is. A two-part question. Number one, the security risk involved of being too open and sharing data. And then the other part of it is, are there certain boundaries in terms of how far companies should go in doing this?
Sure. Everybody's concerned about their privacy. Everybody's concerned about their security. One of the things that has really caused me to, when we're doing research with consumers and we're asking, if you're concerned about security, then why are you giving your phone your location? If you're concerned about security, then why are you handing over all of this information to this company that you just barely started doing any kind of business with? And the answer is always the same, because if I do it, things will go faster. I'll be able to purchase faster. I'll be able to access my content faster. They want to close the gap between what they're thinking and what they're doing, and the only way that they can do that is if they share data. Company has to know data about them in order to support them. And that basic idea, once a consumer feels comfortable, mostly comfortable with security, then they're going to start sharing data all the time with an organization if they think it's going to help to close that gap between thought and action.
I just got about 2 minutes left here. So sure. What I'd like you to do, if you could, is here's the subtitle of your book, The Seven Lessons in Business Strategy. You've touched on several. Could you just give us a brief comment or two on a couple of others?
So over time, one of the key lessons is that over time, all business panels become cues. What I mean by that is that the consumer interacts with your product through either an inbox or a news feed or a wish list or a preference list. And there's always way more things in that queue that's queued up for you than just your particular product. That has big implications for how companies think about a channel strategy. Another key lesson to pay attention to is that companies need to be designing for the mode that the consumer is in. We're used to this idea that when you hop on a treadmill, it's going to have like the alpine mode, alpine loop mode. It's going to have the walking mode. You just push a button and then it's going to automate and let you walk at a certain pace or run at a certain pace, do different things. That's the way everything's going. Your home is going to have modes. Your car is going to be designed to have at least three modes, one of which you to even drive, because it'll take care of the driving for you. So companies need to be thinking about the mode that they're in. That's a key lesson. And maybe the last lesson I would leave you with is that companies have a tendency to focus on measuring satisfaction today. In the future, it's going to be positive engagement.
All right, I think we'll have to leave it there. They're going to have to buy the book. They'll get those seven lessons in detail. David W. Norton, Digital Context 2.0, has joined us. David, thank you very much. Appreciate having you on.
Thank you.
And I want to thank all of our listeners. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.